You know, ever since I've been rewatching the Siskel and Ebert thing, though, I was like, I need to be, if I'm going to be critical, I need to be, at least need to be intelligently critical.
No, dude, you are. You are. No, you are. Trust me, I just ruin it with my fart jokes is all. You're like, you'll be right in the middle of like this really good point, and I'm like, ha ha, and then Perrin had his mouth open. It's just like, dude, just shut up and let him make his fucking point.
Nah, I don't have a very good point.
I disagree. That's why you're here. You're the straight man to my dumbass.
All right, we're gonna get into this because I got to get to the point so I can get to the sleep.
Look here, shush.
Take the light.
We gotta decide. Yeah, settle down. So,
everyone, I am your handing the baton to Justin Sedai, and these are my wolf brothers.
I will be your admiral in seat for the evening, or your great captain, if you will.
And I will be Rafe Judkins' divided attention. Do I love the ghost of Sparta, or do I love Rand Althor? Who knows? What's going to be most important? Probably not Rand.
Call J.J. Abrams. Probably not Rand. Spoiler alert, it's not Rand.
Troy Aikman and hand it off to somebody else. Hand it off to Emmett Smith. Who is your Emmett Smith?
So, I know I could find this out, but I'm just going to talk about it here because this is where I get all my Wheel of Time information. They haven't touched season 3 yet, right? Like, season 1 did pretty good, but still, like, season 3 is hanging in the balance of season 2. And they're losing.
No, they've got the green light for it. What I've read is that they have probably shot a few scenes to go into season 3 while they were shooting this year, and that they're in pre-production. I believe. I could be incorrect, but I believe that that's the case. And I know that season 3 has been greenlit, and they're like script writing and all that shit. So
I hope so, because they're gonna need to fucking. They're gonna have to roll into season 3 fairly smooth. They can't. Like I said, if they have an 18-month turnaround every season, it's not going to turn out well for them.
I feel like the third season will come faster than the second season, but that could be wishful thinking too. I'm ever the optimist.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the news here, and from a month ago, I'm seeing there's a headline that says The Wheel of Time season 2 may not air until mid-2023. So
yeah, I'm expecting summertime.
I would be shocked if it came out before June. Very shocked.
Ugh. I'd be satisfied with some origins.
I'm going to be pissed. You know what's going to fucking piss me off is when it comes out mid-May and I got to fucking figure out how to do this show with school ending.
Oh, God.
Going on vacation.
Traveling for graduations. Family time. Like, it's June, Dick. We're doing family stuff. Like, I'm going to be recording a couple of these episodes in a closet in a hotel somewhere. And they're just going to, I'm going to be like,
awesome.
Don't.
I love it.
Don't call anyone an asshole because I'm not editing this.
Hey, look, just don't crouch in my stern, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I spit soda on the windshield of my car when I was listening to that. I don't know why. One hit me way harder. Then dagger in the horn box. I say that at work sometimes. Hey, look.
Put your dagger in my horn box. Des has a little one who's still in school, and then a wife who works at a school, right? So.
Yes. Yep. And a teenager, a senior in high school.
And it's exactly. And Justin and I are both empty nesters. So we're like, whatever. We don't even care. We can do whatever.
I miss my son so much. I'm about to go spend the night at his house with him and his boys.
If I ever want to make Kelly shit her pants, I just have to tell her that we'll be 60 at Cormac's graduation. She's like, no. I'm like, yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's going to happen.
That's just how math works. I'm sorry.
And you know what I have? I have a grandkitty. Yeah, I have a grandkitty. And whenever she's gone, I miss her. I miss her so much.
Oh,
her name is Ziggy. I love her.
Ziggy the grandkitty.
I love Ziggy.
I have a grand kitty that I've never got to pet because she's psycho.
Oh.
Like all good kitties.
My grand kitty loves me. And you are doing like three things at once right now.
That's right. I got to get my...
Good job, man.
Who, me?
No.
I'm drinking. I'm smoking pot. I'm talking. I'm doing so many things.
Are you watching the Wheel of Time?
You are not.
Because I am.
Yes, on your screen.
That's perfect. I love it. So today, welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. And we are going to finally kick off our journey through the Dragon Reborn. We've been, you know, as everyone knows, I was holding off on this until season two, but hold off no longer. We are on our own journey through the books, and fuck them. Fuck them.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We should have had a show by now, and we don't.
And I'm going to bitch about it every episode until we get it.
We'll just keep talking about the books.
Yeah.
The books are better. We'll just keep talking
the
about it.
The books are better.
Your favorite Amazon Prime show is books.
Okay, so today, chapter two, Dragon Reborn, I believe we're just going to call it Sidene's Taint is what we're going to call it. I believe that the name of the chapter is Sidene, actually.
It is. Ooh, yeah.
We're going to, if anybody wants to listen along, for the four people that listen to us, I love you guys. Love you.
You guys are the best. Stick with us.
So we are chapter two, Sidene, 17 minutes and 51 seconds. There was, I believe, a Trolloc attack the night before. And Perrin is kind of like, nobody can find Rand. And everybody's like, okay, where's Rand? And he's got this little hidey hole. They're kind of like hiding out for the winter, which I kind of feel like we might see maybe not a version of this towards like mid-season or the end, but maybe something with these things in it, or at least a scene where, you know, towards the end, you're going to see Rand struggles trying to channel, or maybe he doesn't struggle. He talks about struggling the night before during the battle. Like, he's super upset. He's like, I did nothing. I set the tops of some trees on fire. And he's like, I was so worried that I tried to do something and I couldn't.
Tried to do something, but I have no ability to control. There's no like,
and he's worried he's going to fucking kill his friends. You know, part of it is that he just doesn't know what to do. And then he's so frustrated that he almost, you know, he says he almost pulls the mountain down on them or something like that. You'll hear it.
And he's probably afraid he's going to go mad too.
Yeah. At this point, he's still kind of like, I just won't touch it that much. Not realizing that by the time you get to the last battle, like, you're going to have to be a master at wielding Sidene. So he's just like, well, I just won't touch it that much. It's like, grow up, buddy. And so he's still kind of at that point. And he kind of does something towards the end, and you just realize like how strong he is, but how frustrating he is, because he'll be bursting with the power and can't release it anywhere. So he almost burns himself up because it's just like, I turned the oven on high, bro, and I didn't put any fucking birds in to cook.
I'm going to get an 8-ball and it'll last the whole weekend.
But there's also times when he's like trying to like grab it and it's not there. It's like, you ever have like when you're a little kid and you're like trying to fly a kite and like the string starts running out and you try to grab the string, but your hands are too big and it's like sliding through your fingers. It's kind of like what he describes.
That's a really good analogy.
It's what he describes. He's like, I'm trying to grab a hold of it and it's just slipping through my fingers the whole time. It's like grabbing Jell-O. You know, he's like, I'm trying to pick it up. It's just sliding through my
fingers. He describes
it
as trying to grab smoke, which is similar. You know, just, you know.
Have you ever tried to cup your own jizz?
Oh, my God.
That's got to be cut out. We can't.
So real quick, before we get into this clip, anyone who's actually listening, thinking, oh, cool, Dez, we must be reading this chapter because Dez was on chapter one last week. So, of course, he read chapter two. It's only been 7 days, people. I'm not going to get into the details of my life. Let's just say.
I won't tell you how many chapters I had to go back to listen to this.
Hey, but you know what? Dez is a very busy man, as opposed to Justin and I.
You have a little kid. That's it.
He has way more responsibilities.
I'm keeping 6 podcasts in the air. So, and if you want to be the 7th, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I love that guy. Dez and I have never even met face to face. I love this guy. He is awesome.
And we could easily meet for lunch.
Like, we could totally, like...
It's like 45 minutes.
Each drive, yeah, each drive a half hour and have lunch.
But you're too busy. That's a problem.
If you fuckers don't meet for lunch pretty soon, I'm going to fucking kick both of you in the dick.
It'll happen.
I'm stuck up here in Canada.
Kind of like Wheel of Time Season 2. Like, it sounds like a summer release.
Exactly. Exactly.
You guys fucking suck.
That's when I go over there and I usually go hang out in the middle of the summer. I'll head over to where your area is. And
like I said, I better get some selfies in a beer garden or something.
All right, let's get into this.
All right, let's get into this shit so we could fucking go to bed.
The Dragon Reborn, Chapter 2, Sidene. 17 minutes in.
Long shadows stretched away from the sun sitting on the mountaintops. The walls of this place were unbroken, yeah, save for the crack. It could be even more easily defended by a few than the bull, but it had neither stream nor spring. No one went there, except Rand, after he argued with Moraine. Rand stood not far from the entrance, leaning against the rough trunk of a leather leaf, staring at the palms of his hands.
Rand had his fort when he argues with his parents.
Rand did it to the flesh. Suddenly, Rand began to recite softly, never looking up from his hands. Twice and twice shall he be marked, twice to live and twice to die. Once the heron to set his path, twice the heron to name him true. Once the dragon for remembrance lost. Twice the dragon for the price he must pay. But no dragons yet, he chuckled roughly. For a moment, Perrin simply looked at him. A man who could channel the one power. A man doomed to go mad from the taint on Sidene, the male half of the true source, and certain to destroy everything around him in his madness. A man, a thing, everyone was taught to loathe and fear from childhood. It was hard to stop seeing the boy he had grown up with. Perrin chose a small boulder with a flat top and sat waiting. Lately, Perrin said, I find myself wishing I was still a blacksmith. Do you wish you were still just a shepherd? Duty, Rand muttered. Death is lighter than a feather, duty heavier than a mountain. That's what they say in Shinar. The Dark One is stirring, the last battle is coming, and the Dragon Reborn has to face the Dark One in a last battle, or the Shadow will cover everything. The Wheel of Time broken, every age remade in the Dark One's image. There's only me. I have the duty because there isn't anybody else now, is there? Perrin shifted uneasily. The laughter had a raw edge that made his skin crawl. I understand you are arguing with Moraine again. The same thing? Rand drew a deep, ragged breath. Don't we always argue about the same thing? They're down there. On Almuth Plain, and the light alone knows where else. Hundreds of them. Thousands. They declared for the Dragon Reborn because I raised that banner. Because I let myself be called the Dragon. Because I could see no other choice. And they're dying. Fighting, searching, and praying for the man who was supposed to lead them. Dying. And I sit here safe in the mountains all winter. I owe them something. Rand laughed again, that chilling laugh. The light burned me, she is right. They are all split up into little groups all over the plain. All across Taraban and Ardoman. If I join any one of them, the White Cloaks and the Domani army, and the Tarabonners will be on top of them like a duck on a beetle. Perrin almost laughed himself in confusion. If you agree with her, why in the light do you argue all the time? Because I have to do something, or I'll burst like a rotted melon. Do what? If you listen to what she says, Rand gave him no chance to say they would sit there forever. Moraine says, Rand jerked erect, squeezing his head between his hands. Moraine has something to say about everything. Moraine says I mustn't go to the men who are dying in my name. Moraine says I'll know what to do next because the pattern will force me to it. Moraine says, but she never says how I'll know. Oh no, she doesn't know that. His hands fell to his sides and he turned toward Perrin, head tilted and eyes narrowed. Sometimes I feel as if Moraine is putting me through my paces like a fancy tyrant stallion, doing his steps. Perrin scrubbed a hand through his shaggy hair. Whatever is pushing us or pulling us, I know who the enemy is, Rand. Balzaman, Rand said softly. An ancient name for the Dark One.
Ballsy, man.
In a Trolloc tongue, it meant heart of the dark. And I must face him, Perrin. His eyes closed in a grimace, half smile, half pain. Light help me. Half the time I want it to happen now, to be over and done with, and the other half... How many times can I manage to... Light, it pulls at me so. What if I can't... What if I... The ground trembled. Rand, Perrin said wordly. Rand shivered. Despite the chill, there was sweat on his face. His eyes were still shut tight. Oh, light, he groaned. It pulls so.
So he's just like filled to bursting with Sidene.
It seemed as if the ground was jerked out from under his feet.
He's basically causing a giant earthquake.
The valley shook as though a vast hand had reached down from the sky to wrench it out of the land. He clung to the ground while it tried to bounce him like a ball. Pebbles in front of his eyes leaped and tumbled, and dust rose in waves. Rand! His bellow was lost in the grumbling roar. Rand stood with his head thrown back, his eyes still shut tight. He did not seem to feel the thrashing of the ground that had him now at one angle, now at another. His balance never shifted, no matter how he was tossed. Perrin could not be certain, being shaken as he was, but he thought Rand wore a sad smile. The trees flailed about, and the leather leaf suddenly cracked in two, the greater part of its trunk crashing down not 3 paces from Rand. He noticed it no more than he noticed any of the rest. Perrin struggled to fill his lungs. Rand! For the love of the light! Rand, stop it! As abruptly as it had begun, it was done. Rand was staring at nothing now, chest heaving as if he had run 10 miles. This had never happened before, nor anything remotely like it. Rand, Perrin said carefully. What? Rand still seemed to be looking into a far distance. It is always there, calling to me, pulling at me. Sidene. The male half are the true source.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Tons to unpack there, and I really think that, like, I don't think we'll see a version of this per se, like straight across. I don't, and I could, because Perrin and Rand A aren't together unless they come back together. I think we'll see some version of Rand really struggling. He may be alone, but I think you're going to see some version of that, like, kind of like, you know, the agony and the ecstasy of, like, I can channel and I have, like, you don't have really any kind of reference for Rand's strength. You have a reference for Aes Sedai strength because you've seen Moraine do some shit. Moraine's pretty strong. She also has an Ungrial. Right now, you think Moraine is like some hot shit. And when it really, in the fucking grand scheme of things, she's pretty middle of the pack, even with her Ungrial. No really skin off of her back, but she's just...
Does she always rock an Ungrial? Is that like part of her thing?
She just has had one since, you know, at the beginning. She has a little Ungrial. I forget what it is at first. Jeremy, do you remember what it is?
I think it's a carved, like it's like an ivory woman. It looks like it's carved from ivory.
Yes, that's right.
It's a woman.
Because she has an ivory bracelet later, but it's a woman that she has. And she wraps it in a little fucking cloth or whatever. But, you know, right now, like, she's kind of your strongest channeler that you've seen do some shit. Except...
Well, I would say Nynaeve.
Well, Nynaeve and, like, well, in the show...
In the show, it's Nynaeve.
In the show, it's Nynaeve, but Moraine has done some shit, like, battle-wise. Like, you haven't seen Moraine, like, Nynaeve really, like, you've watched Moraine defend Eamon's Field on Winter Night and kill a lot of Trollocs. And in the book-wise, you've seen her, you know, basically hit the ground with her staff and cause giant waving earthquakes. And so you're like, damn, she's powerful. Really, she's not. Once you get a clue for how, even at this point, how strong Rand is, he could have killed everybody. Right there by accident. He's so strong and he hasn't even hit close to probably half his potential at this point. He can't get it to do what he wants, but you know, he's fucking crazy strong. And like to the point where he's scaring Perrin. And I think he's more like emo really and in his fucking feels than really going mad right now, kind of feeling sorry for himself. But it comes off the same way. You know, everybody's like, okay, Rand, let's just, let's go get some food and take a nap.
It's funny because I've read this book countless times, and it wasn't until this last time where I'm reading it again where I've realized it's such a change that Robert Jordan did. In the first two books, it's mostly from Rand's point of view, and you'll get some of Perrin's point of view, but you don't really get Perrin's point of view of Rand. And in this very beginning,
this is one of those times, though.
Yeah, Perrin understands what's going on with Rand. Like, he's one of the few people on the planet that's like, okay.
He understands Rand start to finish, dude.
Yes, he's like, this is my buddy. We were friends. We grew up together. But also, now he's the Dragon Reborn, which means he's a man who can channel. And that is the scariest thing ever. It's like having a nuclear bomb that can go off at any time. And you just always have to carry it around with you.
Not only that, you're counting on that bomb to save you and it save the world.
It's more like a nuclear bomb that's also a nuclear power plant. It's literally like you're walking around with it. You're like, hey, everybody here.
And you're Homer fucking Simpson.
Exactly. You're like, here, everybody enjoy this free power. It's so cool. Look at this. All of a sudden, Homer's like, everything's going red. All the lights are going off, and I don't know what that
flashy,
means.
Flashy.
Yeah.
So do you think, I mean, one, they're homies from way back, but two, Perrin's trying to deal with this whole wolf brother situation. So he's like...
Absolutely.
Right. Perrin's going through his own shit. Absolutely. That was the other clip that I was talking about. I thought if we were going to do two, we would do this one to lead into the next one, because right at the end, the part that I cut off, they talk about dreams.
Oh, cool.
Well, Rand is getting his own version of Talonriad because basically the Forsaken keep fucking with him. Perrin has another version of Talonriad where he's getting fucked with like Rand, but also he goes there in his own right and starts learning how to become strong there himself.
Yeah, so if you haven't read the books, in the TV show, you see a guy show up, Ishamael, and he's messed with them in their dreams. Right. With the guy who has the fire eyes. And then he, in the very end, he kind of reveals himself to be the other guy.
You don't find out that he's Ishmael in the books till what? Two? Three?
Exactly. It's three. It's three.
Three, right? I think, because they start talking about it because he's kind of in hiding because him and Rand fight.
He keeps saying he's Baal Zamar, which is another word for the Dark One, but also is maybe is what Ishmael has taken as his own name. So, but what happens after that is all the other Forsaken start doing this kind of the same thing. And they're kind of like watching him in his dreams, or they're messing with him in his dreams. Lanfear does it. Samael does it, until he figures out like, oh, there's a way that I can guard my dreams. Like with the one power, I can just be like, oh, nobody can get in. My dreams are guarded, but he doesn't know that. And so for the first three books, he's just like, maybe even four books, he's just like, I don't want to go to sleep. When I go to sleep, it's worse than being awake.
Everyone's fucking with me.
Exactly.
So the power calling to them, is the power as an entity trying to get you to use it? Or does it just feel so good? Is it just a drug that you just want to feel that good again?
Yes.
So that's what's calling to you.
It would be like, I think we've said this before. It would be like if you always had heroin in your head. He always had heroin in your head, and just beyond like the side, like your peripheral vision, you could see heroin. And all you have to do is just be
not
like,
even that, dude. Just think of it like every time you have like in Dez, like you can relate to this. Maybe some of our listeners can't, but I think a lot of people can. The anxiety, like, you know, just like imagine like your anxiety and you're feeling like when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling anxiety run, and you just, what does that make you feel most? For me, it makes me feel powerless, makes me feel stuck, makes me feel like I can't do anything. Well, if you can channel, all that goes away and your perceptions become uber enhanced and you can fucking fix anything and nothing matters, and because you've got the power to fix it, you know what I mean? And so imagine being able to make that go away, and it's
even if you really don't,
it still calls to you like, you got this, you can fix this. That's an analogy, but you know,
it's a good analogy.
Because of how powerful he is, does it call to him more? Like, you could change, does there's a power of wilting a flower, and there's a power of bending the world to your will. So does Rand feel the calling more because somewhere deep inside he knows he can make Egwyn love him? He can.
That's a good question.
He's a little Anakin that way. Yeah. I'd say like, it's like, hey, I'm going to be the one to fix it. You know, like I have, like you get a sense of that in this clip, because he's like, they're waiting for me. They're dying for me. Like, I got to do something. Like, that's kind of Anakin. You know, he's like, this war is too long.
Yeah.
I have to do something, you know, like I'm the only one that can fix it. And he's kind of accepted the challenge, you know?
There's a perfect analogy that Robert Jordan wrote, and you can cut this out if you need to, because it's kind of spoilery. But in the next book, he has grabbed Kalendor, which is it's a Saw Angriel. So imagine, you know.
Also, one of the main prophecies that, like, you can't grab that unless you are the dragon.
Oh.
So, but he's grabbed this Saw Angriel, and it's incredibly powerful. What we've talked about, there's my eyesight's going, right? As an older person. So when you have the power in you, you can see better, you can smell better. It's everything is better. So when you have the Saw Angriel, everything is times 1,000 because you can pull more power in. So he goes through, there's a Trolloc attack in a certain area, and he kills like all these Trollocs, but then he sees that the serving girl has been killed, and he's like, he can't handle it. It bugs him. And so he's like, I'm gonna make her heart start working again. So he like uses the power to make her heart start working again. And he's like trying, he like tries to move her around, and he's just like, just live.
They compare it to a marionette, right?
I was just thinking the exact.
Like she looks like a disgusting marionette, because it's like, and like Moraine's like, dude, no.
Moraine's like, she's dead. You can't bring her back. And he's like, yes. He's like, yes, I can. I have all this power. And she's like, you don't have the power over life and death.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way, dude.
And he's just like,
well, then what's it for then?
He's so crestfallen. He's so disappointed. It literally breaks his heart, dude.
He has all of this power, but he can't save this one young girl. And that's all he wanted to do. He wanted to save this one young girl.
Does the camp feel like at the end of that clip, did the camp feel the earthquake, or was it just
Oh, yeah. No, okay. It's everybody.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Everybody. Moraine comes running out like, oh, hey, what's the... That's why Perrin goes looking for Rand, because she's like, what the fuck just happened? Because there's one before that, too, after the Trolloc attack, and there's like a... Or no, they just go looking for him, and that's when it happens, and then she's like,
So he's... Yeah, he's raising mountains if he wants to.
Yeah, and that's what you're starting to see from Perrin. Like, he's like, oh, I've got all this issues going on, like... I don't want to lose myself to the wolves. And then he's like, this guy could literally pull the mountains down on top of me. That might be slightly more important, but I still have to mess
when with... When he's having a... Seriously, no, Perrin has perspective, dude.
Yes, Perrin has very much
perspective. Because he's like, look, I got some problems, but this dude could like fucking sneeze fart and kill us all.
Literally.
Oh, shit. Oops, oops, I balefired a fucking blade master.
Oops, I killed a blade master.
Achoo. Oh, balefire.
And now I'm a blade master. What do I do?
Yeah, exactly. Now I got this fucking...
I didn't even kill him with the blade.
My bad.
I just feel like this will be kind of a theme kind of through this next season is that, you know, Rand's learning to channel and do things and also like trying not to touch Sidene because of the madness and... Also learning how to do some cool shit, but like kind of being afraid of it too. And then also being able to like, I've got all this power and I shit myself, you know, like I can't do anything, you know, and it's like the frustration, I could see it.
So this season, if they try to stick to the books and try to get season two and season three together, it's going to be a whirlwind. It's going to be so fast. And
I hope they can do it without sacrificing story because it's almost like it's going to be like fight, 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 fight. Rest, fight, 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 fight. Everybody dies.
So in my opinion, this second season is probably not going to be, it's not going to be satisfying to me because they've said the third season is going to be much more true to the books, which is going to be about the fourth book.
I'm really excited for that.
What that tells me, second season's not going to be close to the books.
Now, is that just because they're trying to cram so much in the first two seasons or because they're just like, why would they all of a sudden go back in book four and just be like, we're just going to do this the way it is?
Book four is pivotal.
Okay.
And I think Justin would agree with me in that book four is pivotal. It is probably of all the books, four and five, they are it's four, five.
Well, I would say starting at the end of, I almost feel like they're going to cut this season, like him taking Kalendor or about to. And then you're going to have everything after that was going to be season four, like going to the waste, the fight with Belal.
In my opinion, season three, that's going to be one of the last scenes. Him taking Kalendor. Absolutely. Or season two.
Even if this show does well, I think eight seasons is the max. And I'm thinking closer to six or seven.
I'd say probably more like seven. Especially if they start giving us another extra episode or like, you know, some hour and a half episodes, some 90 minute episodes. Absolutely. I think seven is the max. Maybe six.
So if we're at book four in season three.
That's what I'm saying. And there's what, Jeremy, 14? 14 books, right? Not counting New Spring.
Yeah, right. There's 14 books. So if you're at book four in season three, but here's the thing. They can, at any time, they can say, I'm going to do 10 episode season.
But again, that's I think I don't expect this show to be hugely popular.
It's a possibility though.
I think and hope it's popular enough that it gets the arc it needs.
Dude, if the second season is amazing, see that's the thing. All it needs is like either two or three to be like what we hope it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And one and two won't matter because it's all set up.
Well, we're in. We're not. It's people that still don't even know what Wheel of Time. It's the people that don't even know there's a season one or two that all of a sudden season three go, holy fuck, have you seen this show Wheel of Time? You know,
that's what I'm saying. You get to the third season and it's crazy good. You're like, what? Where has this show been for three seasons?
But honestly, Dez, I wouldn't say that I was in. Because I watched that first season, I was incredibly disappointed. And so I...
But you're going to tune in for... They would have to really, really shit... Like, now you're on the show, you're fucked. You're roped in.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to call your house once a week.
Basically, if you don't like season two, we come to your house.
Jail.
But I'm just, and part of me, a big part of the reason I bring it up is because it does worry me that they don't have a plan.
Yeah.
And nothing ruins a show faster than people not knowing when the fuck they can watch it.
I feel like they have a plan. It's
but they need to roll it out and give the audience the assurance that every spring there's going to be more of this show.
Because that's what HBO does, and that's why they're hugely successful.
You're right. Justin's right.
It's part of its marketing, dude, and they don't do it right.
And even HBO, they're like, you know what? Game of Thrones, you're not going to get it for 16 months. Everyone's like, cool, make it good. But they said that.
Yeah, don't fuck it up.
Yes, so that's right. What Dan says is correct.
So that's the thing. If it comes out in the summer and it's good, everybody's going to forget about how long it took.
Doesn't matter. Exactly.
As long as they then have a plan, like we'll see you next summer with season 3.
Well, that's what I've been seeing about how they're going to stick season 3 pretty much straight across Shadow Rising. That means it's already been written. Or starting writing, and they're starting to lay it out. So I think you can't get too ahead of yourself.
My point being, unless this, like, you know, has Game of Thrones numbers, which it can fall way short of that and still be a popular show.
Right.
Six to eight seasons seems good. So, like, is there, like, I mean, they could obviously cut. I mean, there's like 3-4 major battles. Like, obviously there's battles in every book, but there's like.
You could take 5, 6 and make that season 4. You could make 7, 8, 9, 10. Maybe 10. Season 5 and then 11, 12, season 11, 13, 14, season
or whatever. Yeah. And then the last two books, again, we're getting into some meat there. So we got to like.
But I think you could lay it out that way. And I don't think it would feel too rushed. And I think you could hit the important things that need to be hit, especially season, if you did it that way, season 6 and 7, you'd be doing the cleansing and then the last battle. And then, you know, all of the lead up to those in 2 seasons. And those would be the ones that's like, if you get through season 3 and 4, you better start working on that now. You better write it. You better have.
Yes.
It has to. Those are the things that's like, I will forgive so much. If they finish it with 6 and 7, true to the way Sanderson wrote it, the way Jordan laid it out, like the more I read it, the more like I have never been more satisfied at the ending of books that I have read than I have been with The Wheel of Time, with the exception of a couple of them. I cannot believe how satisfied I was with someone else finishing the most epic, favorite,
personal
series of my career by someone else so well. He was able to capture Robert Jordan's 1 through 5 energy and vibe with a little twist of his own in the last 3 books that he did. Jeremy said he didn't like them at first. Like, you know what? Like, I ran through them the second they came out and I was incredibly happy because I really felt like it captured like the first 1 through 5 books as like pacing and vibe and, you know, no extra bullshit that you don't need, but still plenty of extra shit that you do need and amazing.
I'm looking forward to season 2. I don't ever like, I will never probably go back and look at season 1 and be like, oh, I loved any episode of season 2.
No, but will it be a satisfactorily solid jumping point for the first season if like the rest of it goes just smash and they hit the bullet points that we all love.
Oh yeah.
From the Wheel of Time books. Will it be enough to be like, okay, or will it be like, man, that first season was straight garbage and then they got their act together?
Would Justin you say the same thing about Parks and Recreation, which we all love?
Mm-hmm.
But would you go back and watch the first season again? Only like it's what, 6 episodes?
Only because you love it so much and exactly. It's the one you've watched the least.
Exactly.
Because it's the shittiest.
And even though you guys are so wrong and about the best episode being in the first season, it's actually in the second season, which I was right about. I was totally right about.
I need more Brandanowitz in my life.
You're absolutely right, Des. Mark Brandanowitz should have been brought back in the last season because I like Mark Brandanowitz.
He rocks.
He's a dickhead, dude.
No, he was a cool guy.
Mark Brandanowitz
was cool.
He was a cool guy to have a beer with. You wouldn't want him to date your sister. Maybe after he hit his head, he's a dickhead.
Mark Brandanowitz! Danowitz. So as we do a lot now, we use these little clips as a jumping off point, and we go all over. I like where we went. And you know what? Say what you will about season one, Jeremy. If they drag it out too long, we're doing another fucking rewatch. Well, at least, you know what?
It'll be better than the Willow episode.
Actually,
how dare you?
Actually, I'm going to say this right now. We will definitely watch the editor's version again before season two.
Heck yes.
That's what we'll do.
Okay. That.
Let's do it.
I would be totally.
Because I would like to watch that. Because I'm going to need another fucking catch up.
Let's just watch the Obi-Wan edit.
There we go.
I would watch anything with you guys. even if it's not recorded. I don't even care.
Ideally, this podcast gets popular enough to where it just becomes Wheel of Movies.
Yeah.
Wheel of shit we want to watch.
Totally.
And make fun of and talk
or
about.
Or stuff that we hate. I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, love, hate, it's funny. It's good stuff.
I haven't said this out loud, but I think this is where my real anger is coming from. We were so...
Please tell us.
We were so popular last year during the season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, this podcast was huge.
That's true.
For 6 weeks. And then we've held on to some listeners, some diehards. People love us. People like the show. People just need something to listen to while they drive, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, when season two comes around... People are going to be like, oh, this is an interesting show. I'd like to know more about it. And then they come find us. And then we have a reason to do a Patreon. And then we watch different movies on our Patreon or talk about, you know, whatever. I think that's where my real, like, that's where I actually get angry. I'm just like, this show has legs. I know it does. But we need the show to push the show.
Let's pen a letter to Jeff Bezos and explain to him how he's fucking screwing us over.
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us.
Rafe.
Like us.
I want to crouch in your stern. Come on, buddy. Release it.
Tell a friend.
Put your dagger in Dez's horn box.
About our show.
Shit.
Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. Send us questions and comments, chapters, characters you want us to talk about, your theories for what's to come of this show. Send those to
Talk to us if you listen, for God's sakes.
Just let us know you're out there. Let us hear your voice. We'll read your shit online. Even if it's hate mail, send us some.
I will tell everyone your name.
Send us some hate mail.
Yeah, send us some hate mail. That'd be awesome.
No. That'll hurt my feelings.
No, please.
Only if you're a listener. You can send us hate mail if you're a listener.
Yeah, if you've listened to every episode, you can tell me to eat a bag of donkey dicks. That's fine.
No. Send your hate mail for me to Justin.
Sure. Love ya.
And then so he can read it and make him so happy.
And then send Justin's to me and then send mine to Jeremy.
Nah, don't say anything to me. I won't read it.
Anyways, send those to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy and spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time, Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. My duty is brown with corn bits and peanuts.
Do you leave it in the stern? While you're crouching?
That is. When I crouch in your stern, that's when I leave my duty.
I just want to tell you that I am a thirsty guy in the desert.
And my duty is large and brown and has no more odor than a hot biscuit. You try to make a podcast out of that, I dare ya.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Dude, yeah, you'll cut something out. I'll be like, I'll look at my wife and I'll be like, oh, that was so much longer.
This counts towards our recording time.